Good morning. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you today. As was mentioned, my name is Tim Burrow, and I'm here from Lubbock, and I work with the Sunset International Bible Institute. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak to you somewhat for a little while from God's Word. And I arrived here yesterday and was able to spend a little bit of time with some of the leadership, and it was really a time of great encouragement to me. And I'm grateful for all that this congregation is doing in the Lord's service and for the way that it is involved in sharing the good news with the lost and for the way that it is constantly seeking to reach out, not just around the world, but certainly within this community. I'm also grateful for our brother Wes and for his willingness to come and to teach our students at SIBI and to share with them some things that he has learned and is doing in ministry. It means a lot to us and to our students. As you look at the slide up there, it says Mission Sunday. And initially, I had a question mark behind Mission Sunday. And I don't know what your experiences have been with Mission Sundays. The reason I had the question mark up there, first of all, was because, you know, when I was a child growing up, we would have Mission Sundays. And a missionary would come in and he would speak to us from some far-off exotic land. And he would have usually some slides. It was the only time back then when there was any sort of AV in the congregation. So that's how you knew that it was a Mission Sunday. And there would be these pictures that were up there on a little screen that everybody squinted to be able to see, not like the AV that we have today. And you would see people that they were reaching out to. And I can remember as a child that we would be given these little sleeves with cutouts in them. And we would take dimes and we would slide them in and we would beg, borrow, and steal. Well, hopefully not steal, but we would get the dimes. So that tells you how long ago it was. The dimes had value. And we would put them in. And usually there would be about 20 slots in them. So about $2 worth. And of course, we didn't have any disposable wealth as little children. So we got the dimes from our parents. And we would slide them in. And eventually, we would fill up those little folders. And we would turn them in, our $2 worth of contribution to the mission efforts of God. And those are the things that I remember about Mission Sunday. And it was something that, for us, might take place once a year, maybe once every couple of years. But as I think of Mission Sunday, it's not just something that I'm sure we all realize, something that ought to take place once a year, just as Mark shared with us this morning in our greeting. We also have Mission Monday and Mission Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And I can remember also as a child thinking about, I wonder why that person went to go and live in the country where they are living. Or I wonder why our preacher chose to do the things that he does. Certainly as an adult, I see things a bit differently. And, well, I'm not quite sure that as an adult, I have always seen those things quite differently. Because, in a sense, as I think about my message this morning and I think about our Mission Sunday, I also think about, tales of a missionary who didn't really want to be one. Now, you may be thinking about the prophet Jonah. Nice story. We all knew it as children, perhaps. And it is a great children's story, but it is far more than a children's story. It is a mission story. Because God called his prophet to share his message with the people who were lost and needed to find their way and find God and his forgiveness. And that prophet had no interest in taking that message to the place where God was sending him. But I'm not talking about Jonah. I am, in a sense, at least at this moment, talking about the person standing before you. I thought that I wanted to do God's will. And I was involved in ministry, and I was trying to do everything that I thought that he wanted me to do, but I wasn't really interested in change in my ministry at that moment. I received an email inviting me to go and take on a ministry in a far-off place to me called Mariupol, Ukraine. And I printed off the email, and I took it into my wife's sewing room. She was a seamstress. And I laid it down on her machine, and I said, "Would you look at this?" And she looked at it. And there are lots of reasons in the backstory, which we don't have time to delve into at the moment. And she said, "Now, wait a minute. Don't you think we should think about this and pray about it first?" Oh, not what I wanted to hear. Then we made the mistake of praying about it. And when we had prayed about it and really stopped to think about, okay, what is God's will? We came to understand that this is the leading of God in our lives and our ministry, that it was time for us to leave where we were at and to accept this opportunity and to move our family from Central Texas to Mariupol, Ukraine, sight unseen. Now, we broke all the rules. My daughter turned 13 the day we arrived on the mission field. Our son was 10. Missions people will tell you, don't move your teenagers and things like that. Just forget all of that. If you are loving, if you are deep in the Word, if you are pursuing the will of God, and if you are involving them in your ministry and also strengthening their relationships where you go, they'll be all right. They will not die. My point in that self-revelation is this. God has a reason for everything that he does. And he calls his servants to be obedient to his will, no matter where we are and no matter where he wants us to go. And so as we consider our missionary Sunday, number one, I want to encourage and I also want to praise this congregation for what it has done and for what it is doing in obedience to the will of God in order to pursue missions as a value of this congregation. Having seen the list that was up there earlier in the places which you support and knowing what you do in this community, it is an encouragement to me and you don't need me to say this, you are on the right path. Keep up what you are doing. Do not lose heart. God is with you, and He is strengthening you. He is giving you His resources, and He is allowing you the opportunities which you have because He has opened doors which no man can shut. And He will bless those things, and He will go before you in each and every one of you, each and every one of them. And here is the reason why. The reason why is that we serve a missionary God. Our God is a missionary God. You know, you and I are called to be just like God. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Each and every one of us are on a journey to become more and more like Jesus. And if we are going to be transformed into the image of our God, then we need to understand who it is that we are called to be like. And if we are going to have any understanding of what missions is all about, we have got to understand the heart of Almighty God. Because no one cares more about missions than our God. He is the source, the fountainhead, the resource, the person, the one who goes before, and the one who will come after us in everything that we do regarding missions. Let us understand what it is that God does as a missionary God. Because these are the things which a missionary naturally must do. And we're going to be very brief about this, and then I'm going to come back to us. So first of all, God is the one who sees. He is El Roy of the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to delve into that story of El Roy in the Old Testament, but when we look into such places as Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it's speaking in the context of Scripture, but it reminds us that God is able to see even the deepest, darkest need of each and every human being. And as He does so, He understands what it is that we are struggling with. Now, God from eternity, we didn't address that first scripture on the first slide, but God before the world was ever even created knew that man was going to fall. And because God saw us in our fallen estate, God also, like any good missionary, made a plan for the way in which He was going to redeem man. And so before time began, God planned a plan to save man. And that plan involved His Son, Jesus Christ. That plan, chapter 1, verse 11 of the book of Ephesians says, "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." God designed a way in which you and I and every other person who has ever lived on this earth can be brought back into a relationship with Him. He made that plan. But that plan was not going to work unless He went. And ultimately, that is what is necessary in the missionary endeavor. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, and I just want to focus for a moment on verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter writes, "For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who, through Him, are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." It wasn't enough for God to simply see us in our need. It wasn't enough for God to simply develop a plan. That plan was going to require his willingness to go. And so he sent his son. In John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, right before the cross, Thomas would say to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus would say, "Have I been with you all this time, and still you do not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus came so that man could see God and understand him fully, but even more than that, he came so that he could pay the price so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. But how are we to know that? God had a mission message that he was delivering. A message which is from before time and lasting up to our time. When the man and the woman sinned in the garden, God from the very beginning gave them hope. When we look in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, we have this first inkling of the gospel message which God delivers to them. It is their way out. It is how they are going to have the redemption that they need, though they fully do not understand it. It is their first glimpse into his eternal plan. And God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." The day is coming, God says, when the offspring of woman will come, and he will destroy the devil's work. And man will be set free from this sin which you have entered into this day. And for the rest of the Old Testament, you have the unfolding of God's plan. And you have this enduring question of, where is the seed? The woman and the man have two children, and one kills the other, and okay, that's not the seed. And then they have another child, and then the seed is being preserved, and years go by, and God repents that he's made man on the earth. And so he's going to destroy the earth, but Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so the seed is preserved. And the seed goes on, and then many years later, Abraham comes on the seed, and God says, "The seed is coming through you. If you can count the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, that's how many children you are going to have." And then we keep going forward, and God says to David, "It's going to be one of your seed through which the answer is going to come." And all through the Old Testament, this message is coming forward, and the prophets are speaking to the children of Israel, and they are sharing glimpses of this message so that the people are looking to God for hope, because he is a missionary God. And they are telling them and announcing to them that there is a Messiah which is coming. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet will say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then God will speak to people like Daniel, and he'll give them a vision of a kingdom that has no end. And one like the Son of Man who comes, and he is the one who is going to rule over this kingdom, and no kingdom shall stand against him. And then when that seed is finally born. According to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, the message is delivered to some poor shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, when an angel appears to them and the glory of the Lord shines upon them. And the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." All the while, God is delivering his message. And then finally, when Jesus has fulfilled all things by going to the cross, before he ascends into heaven, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he will say to his disciples, "Remain here in Jerusalem for a while until the Spirit comes, and then you will be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and into Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth." And that is exactly what we have in the book of Acts. It entails exactly what the apostles did in carrying forth that message and sharing that message in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth during their time. And if we look in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we see the Christians following along in that same vein, so that when the Christians are scattered because of persecution, everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. Now, as I look at this, and I've drained the fire hose on you for a moment, and I appreciate you being so patient with me. Our God is a missionary God who saw a need. He developed a plan for reaching out to those in need, and then he went to meet that need. He delivered a message which was going to bring about salvation. He entrusted it to his prophets and people through time, and eventually to the church. And the church then began to share that. And so what we have and what we are is a mission church. And if we were to go back into the New Testament and look throughout the book of Acts and then through the epistles, we would see that the early church followed in that same pattern that we see with God. The early church saw the need of those who were around them. They saw the people who were distressed. They saw the people who were hungry. But most importantly, they saw the people who were in sin. The church also was involved in making plans for how they were going to answer their need. And you can read through the New Testament, and you can see how those plans dealt with worship. You can see how those plans dealt with missionary efforts. If you go to the book of Acts, for example, and you look at the beginning of chapter 13 in the city of Antioch, the church gathers together. The Holy Spirit speaks through a prophet there and says, "Set apart for me Saul of Tarsus and Barnabas for a work which I have for them, and send them out." There's a sending church, just like McDermott Road. And so Saul and Barnabas go out, and they go on the first missionary journey, and they go to all these places that are listed there in chapters 13 and 14. Then at the end of chapter 14, I believe it's verse 26, they come back reporting of all of the work that has been fulfilled, is the literal word that it says. How can you fulfill a work unless you know that the work is completed? And how can you know that the work is completed unless you know what the work is going to be in advance and it has been planned? That is what missionary efforts are all about. You have to have a plan, and I'm so grateful that this church has a plan in the way that it is reaching out. And as we do so, just like our God, we need to go and tell and share that saving message. And that's why Jesus would say to his followers in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." We have the gospel of Christ. And I hope we understand just how blessed we are. Because we have the message of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. And because we have the message of Christ, we have relationship with God. And we have eternal life. That's not just living forever. That is the abundant life while we live here on earth. Because we have each other. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we have God ever with us. We are a blessed people. Jesus would say in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." You see, that is the invitation of Jesus to everyone who has an opportunity to hear. Now, when Jesus speaks that message, he is speaking to the church. And he is actually speaking to people who have lost their standing within the church. And he is giving a warning to them to be faithful. But we also know that the call of Christ is for all. It is for those who believe and want to come into a relationship with Jesus. I want us to understand that we serve a missionary God, and therefore we are a missionary people. We have a mission Monday, a missionary Tuesday, a mission Wednesday, Thursday, and every day of our life. I want you to understand that you are an answer to prayer. When I arrived in Mariupol, I had never been to Mariupol before, but I had been to the city of Donetsk, and I had taught in the Ukrainian Bible Institute in Donetsk. And I had two students in my class who were from Mariupol. When I arrived in Mariupol, I was met by Stas and Alexandra. They said, "We knew you would come. We knew it would be you." So what do you mean? "We were praying that God would send you to Mariupol." There were people at Woodland West in Arlington that were praying for someone to become a missionary to Mariupol, who would accept the call to go over there and to live and to work with this fledgling congregation that had been planted. And they had been praying. And so people were working in the background, and because of the way they were working, someone who knew me reached out to me. But really, it was an answer to prayer. It wasn't my prayer. I wish that it were. And now I pray those prayers. There are people in need. One more thing. The last time Stas has been gone for now almost 2 decades, the last thing that Alexandra said to me the last time in Mariupol was, "Thank you again for coming. You were such an answer to prayer. You are the answer to prayer." There are people in this world that don't even know what they're praying for. They're looking for help. They're calling out to God for someone, some way to go forward and to find help. And God has helped you to see. And God has shared with you his plan through his son, Jesus. And he's given you a message so that you can go and tell. I'm just here this morning to remind you, first of all, of what you are doing well. But if you are not doing well, I'm here to call you to do better. This building and this community is surrounded by people. In your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, who need you. They need you, like Jesus, to leave the comforts of this place, the comforts of your home, not to go to Mariupol necessarily or to go to Estonia necessarily. I hope you'll go to those places, Nicaragua, Honduras, South Texas, Haiti, not right at this moment. But that you will be that answer, that you will open your mouth and you will share forgiveness from an eternal, loving, and helping God. This morning, that same God is calling all of those who may not be in a relationship with him to come to him. He is really knocking on the door of your heart and asking entrance because he loves you so much. That's why he left. That's why Jesus came to the earth, to die for our sins so that we can have an eternity with him and have an abundant life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, there are leaders of this congregation who would love to study with you and help you to understand just how much God loves you and how he can help you in your life. And this morning, if you find that maybe you've not been as active and involved with the clear mission of this congregation, then I would encourage you to become involved. If there's any need that we can meet for you this morning, won't you come down here and talk to us about it while we stand and sing?